And we find
what?
That the Hema of Chaya the Oak, Shemisadgin, there is the man's worm, whether it's domestic bees, flies, or the wild beasts, or the birds, when are they busy
copulating with each other?
Okay? In other words, they feel the spirit of spring, and this is when, you know,
the hormones rise within them, right?
And so they begin reproducing at that particular point. Shememar, he says, we have a pasuk that indicates that. This is a pasuk that we used before, several droppings from the past.
Not true, Korim
Hashon. And at that time, I explained to you that while the pshat means simply
that the meadows
are covered with cattle, with sheep, and so on, but we learned that from there, they interpreted it in the sense that this is the time when the sheep are busy copulating with each other. Okay? So he says that's the month of Nisan.
This is why I
maintain that the creation of the world took place in Nisan, because as soon as the Beit Shalom created all these things, then all these creatures that we find in nature began
being
fruitful and being multiplied.
Right.
Okay, so new beginning.
The Edom, okay, so let's get back to Rabbi Eliezer. Nami Hokshik, Eitz Hoshetri, the hidden, as you know, trees bearing fruit. In other words, fruit produced fruit. So he says, the hidden drop in the garden. He says, no, that doesn't mean that that represents the season, because how did he interpret it before? He said, the season of the year, when we find that the trees are just filled with fruit, that's Tishrei, right? But here he says he's going that the Ben Shemayim is
blessing all creation, that what? That they should be fruitful and be a blessing for the generations. The Ida, so getting back again to Rabbi Yeshua,
Nami Hoksiv, isn't it written 8:3?
Right? So he says, who can Rabbi Yeshua then later? He says, I interpret that in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Yom of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, call Marzei Bereshit. Everything that was created by the attention in the very beginning of the world, Lekain Oso Nivra'u, Medapo Nivra'u, and Mitzimini. They were created, Lekain Oso, which would mean their full height, right? Their full height, they were already, in other words, they were physically mature, okay? Already physically mature. In other words, the Ben Yisraelim didn't create like an embryo to begin with and then let it go, but he actually created, let's say, the animals as mature beings, okay? The Gatham Igru, they were created already with some kind of intelligence, right? And the tzivyona, which means with their beauty, they were created.
Right.
Shenamar, as it's written, Vayuchulu Hashemayim Ve'oret V'chol Kolam, right? And the heavens and the earth were completed together with all their hosts. So he says, Al Tikrei Tzvaon, don't interpret it over here as Tzvaon, their hosts, Ela Tzivyona, but rather interpret it that they were created with their full beauty.
Huh? Because what he said before refers to the sixth day, Echulu is the seventh day.
No.
They're two different things, two different elements.
Arthur, you should know. Just as when a rabbi gets up in the altar and he makes a sermon and he bases it upon a pasuk, and the pasuk is not necessarily exactly in the Peshat, you know, how the rabbi interprets it. But this is true in general of a drash. A drash is a drash, that's all. Okay. Well,
go a point.
Right. Yeah. Making a point, exactly. All right, we'll go just a little bit further. Rabbi Eliezer says, Benayim Shebetishrei Noldu Olas. How do we know that the ancestors of our people were born in Tishrei? Shenemar, because we have a pasuk. it's written in the Lachem Aruch over there, the time of the dedication of the Beis Hamikdash by King Solomon. It's written by Yekohalu Elamel Shlomo Kolish Yisrael. Every man of Israel, literally, were gathered together. Everybody was gathered together unto King Solomon for the dedication. The Yerach Eisanim Bechor, in the month of Eisanim, on the festive day. And of course, Bechor here means, of course, Chag HaSukkos. Okay, because we know that this is what the reference is in Gemara. Whenever they talk about Bechor, normally it means Sukkos. All right. So, question is, why is it called Yerach Eisanim? You understand? The month of Eisanim. Month that we call the month of Tishrei was in ancient days called the month of Eisanim. So it says Yerach, because this is the month Shenoldu Bo Eisanei Olam. This is the month in which those who are the mighty forces of the world were born. By that he means, of course, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. My mashma, how do we know that this is the meaning of the word Eson? My mashma, the high Eson, Lishdon, Takhifehu, how do you know it means the mighty ones? Kidetsir, because we have a pasuk which says, and this of course is in Balak's bracha to the people of Israel, it says, Eson Moshevecho, right? Your dwelling place is strong. Ve'yomer, and we have another pasuk. This happens to be in the book of Ichob, where it's written, "Shimu Horim Esriv Hashem." Hear, O mountains, the Lord's case that He's making with the people of Israel. There, He's talking about that the Rabbeinu Shalom is arguing with the people of Israel, right? And he says, you know, how did I ever create so much difficulty? I brought you out of Egypt. I did all these wonderful things for you, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So, the revenge shall not have to tie him. So at any rate, over there it's written, Shimu Horim, right? Here, O hills. As we got Hashem, right, with the revenge shall's argument, right? The ho eisonim, and O you mighty ones, mostly ours, you are the foundations of the earth, foundations of the world, right? The Omer, and so I have another pasuk. He says, it's written, Yisher Hashem, kol dodi, yinei zebo, hark, says, sound of the voice of my beloved, here he comes, midaleg al hehorim. He leaps over the hills, Mekabes HaLagroes, and he leaps upon the hills. Daleg Elohim, he says, who is the writer of Rabbeinu Shalom, and why is he leap like, in other words, but for joy? He says, Bizchus Ovos. In other words, the Ovos of our people are compared to the Horim, that we said, Horim, Esone, right? Most they are it. So that they are the mighty ones. They are the foundations of our people. The Kapes HaMagoyes Bitzchus Imahos, and the Rebbeinu Shalom rejoices because not only of the merit of our fathers, but also because of the merit of our mothers. Okay, so this is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, and on the basis of all these things, as we said, we learn what? That in Tishrei, our forefathers were born, right? Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, he comes and disputes this, naturally. Menayin Sheben Nisan, older Yovas, how do I know that they were born in Nisan? Shenemar, Pasuk says, Vayehi Bishmoinim Shona V'Yaba Miyoshona, it came to pass in the 80th year and the 400th year, in other words, 480th year, that says B'nai Yisrael Menetz Mitzrayim, from the time that the people of Israel left the land of Egypt, right? Vashona Horadiyis, in the fourth year, meaning of course the fourth year of the reign of Shlomo, right? The Chodesh Ziv, in the month of Ziv. Ziv naturally means shining. So why is it called the month of sun? He says, the Yerach, right? Huh?
Actually, it's not. Well, he's taking it in that sense, but actually it's not. Because how does the Torah call the month of Nisan? Aviv, right. Chodesh Aviv, exactly. Chodesh Aviv. So it cannot mean that, okay? All right, what's all it done? I'm telling you, when it comes to a drash is a drash.
Yeah.
Of course. Because we always have interpreted them as being the month of the year. Okay. Chodesh Nisan. Okay. Yes. Okay. But anyway, he says, the Yerah Shenoldu Bo Zivsanei Olam. This is the month in which the most shining creatures of the world were born. All right. Let's take a look at the Rashi over there. B'chodesh Ziv, of course, first of all, he does say specifically Iyarhu. You see it over there? In the middle of the Rashi.
Yeah.
It says, Shenoldu Bo Zivsanei Olam. He says, Kishenish Kadesh Iyar. When the month of Iyar, you know, when the Rosh Chodesh Iyar came, so Noldu Kvor B'Nisan. Means that they were already born in the month of Nisan. Oid Nami says, Zimn in their times, the Nisan the Tchufa Nimshach B'Sochia Shalabana. He says, sometimes he says, even though, you know, we talk about the four seasons of the year, and we refer to them as being Tekufas Nisan, right? Tekufas Tammuz, Tekufas Tishrei, and Tekufas Teves. Okay, those are the four seasons of the year. But it doesn't mean that it begins necessarily on the Rosh Chodesh of that month. It says, sometimes he says, that even though it's Nisan, according to the season, but in reality, it still overlaps. That is, it doesn't actually begin until Iyar. All right. So therefore, it's on that basis that we're saying, you know, that Rabbi Yeshua says that it was in the, you know, in the month of Iyar, that in the month of Nisan that they were already born. All right. I think I'm going to stop at this particular point. And Yirtza Hashem, we will continue next week from this particular point, the middle of Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph. Okay, tonight is the 10th of November. We are in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph, and we will continue from where we left off last week. Okay, I want to remind you again that we are right now in the midst of a great machlokes, a very well-known difference of opinion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua as to when the world was created, right? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the world was created the month of Tishrei, and that therefore, you know, Rosh Hashanah represents that, etc., etc. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehoshua, the world was created in the month of Nisan. And each one has a defense for his point of view. So this is what we will be reviewing right now. Okay?
Where are you starting?
All right. I'm starting right now, okay, on the first long line that we have on Yud Aleph, Omid Aleph, right? We already said, you know, that Yerach Sonim, right? It says this is the month in which who? And we said that that is Chodesh Ziv, right? In other words, the month of Ziv, and we interpret it as Shenol Debos of Sonny Olam, according to Rabbi Yehoshua, of course, that this is the month in which the bright, shining patriarchs of our people were created. So, and then how about B'Yerachai Sonim? So he says, what does it mean? Now the question is, Rabbi Eliezer, what does he do with it? Since, you know, they have the same Bible, they have the same psukim, but each one interprets it for a different reason, okay? So therefore he says as follows. He says, why does it say B'Yerachai Sonim, which we already said that this is the month. By the way, remember, this is the month of Tishrei, Yerachai Sonim, okay? And it means literally the month of the mighty ones, okay? Which, according to Rabbi Eliezer, means our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, although actually it says that in Isaac's case he was born in this. But nevertheless, Abraham and Jacob were born in the month of Tishrei, according to him. So that if you have two out of three, not doing badly. So they are the Zivsoni Olam, they are the writing characters of the world. And why are they called that? So the answer is Hosam Takifei B'mitzvahs, right? Which means that they are mighty in what way? In that they perform the mitzvahs of Hashem. Ve'idach, so getting back again to the other one, he says, Nami Hoksiv, isn't it written B'chodesh Ziv? So how does he do with it? So he says, I got a different reason for calling it the month of Ziv. He says, Ahu the Ispe Zivo Li'ilone. He says, this is the month in which brightness comes to the trees. Of course, I mean, living in our country, I mean, we recognize, I mean, that there's quite a difference between the brightness that we have, let's say, in the month of April and May and so on, you know, when we see the trees decked out in their new green, right, as compared, you know, to the kind of sight that we have right now, seeing the leaves falling. By the way, when my grandson was here last week, he couldn't help but marvel at that, because in Eretz Yisrael they don't see leaves falling over there, right? So it was an experience. In fact, Springfield was an experience for him. Having lived in Eretz Yisrael all his life, huh? Yeah, it's first trip, right? So having lived in Eretz Yisrael all his life, and of course being immersed in the world of the Talmud Torah and the yeshiva and so on, you know, he spends his days and nights right now learning the Beis Medrash and so on. This was quite an experience to come over here, and even when we were in New York City, you know. So when we went to Borough Park, he said, "Oh, this reminds me of Geula. If you're in Yerushalayim, you know what I mean by Geula. It's, you know, the area around Meir Shearim over there." So in Borough Park, he saw it. Flatbush, to a certain extent, not to the same extent, but Springfield really was like an eye opener. But he enjoyed it.
How did we play through that on Borough Park?
Yeah. Right, yeah, we went into David over there and went into Shtiblok over there. So, yeah. So, it was an experience. Right now, they arrived home today sometime, so they must be fast asleep. Unless they're still on the American schedule. Right. Okay, so at any rate, here we come to a new opinion, right? This is the opinion, why is it called the month of Ziv? Because it is a month which is brightened by the trees that grow. And here we quote something that we learned in the Gemara in Brachas. The Omer Rav Yehuda, as Rav Yehuda said, Haiman de Nofak v'yomei Nisan, whoever goes out in the month of, in the days of Nisan, you know, anytime during the month of Nisan, the Chazei Iloni de Belavladei, and he sees the trees that are blossoming forth. By the way, this is a reference to fruit trees, I have to tell you. Omer, he says the following bracha. Baruch shelo chiser mi'olamo klum, blessed be the Rabbeinu shel Olam, who has not omitted anything from his world. In other words, he has provided the world with everything, including all these beautiful things, the fruits and the trees and so on. Uvorovo brios tovos, right, and he created within it beautiful creatures, lilonos tovos, and beautiful trees, lihistoris bohen b'nayodem, so that human beings should have handor, right, should have joy in them. This is the bracha that we recite. So, in other words, this is Chodesh Ziv. Okay, I have to tell you, when I was in Yerushalayim several years ago for Pesach, where my daughter lived, there was an area over there, a little group of trees, all kinds of fruit trees, a cherry tree, a orange tree, a lemon tree, and so, you know, the kind of fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael over there. And people would come to this spot. They had posted the bracha on one of the trees so that you could see it, shep nachas, and recite the bracha for it. All right, no, that's fine. But it's no question, I mean, it's very, very beautiful to see these things in the spring as we know it. And so therefore, Chodesh Ziv has this particular meaning for him, okay? So, Man the Omar, the authority who says, of course, it's Rabbi Yeshua, right? Benisan Noldu, Benisan Mesu, he says that our ancestors, our forefathers, not only were born in the month of Nisan, but also they died in the month of Nisan. Right? This is his opinion. Until now, we were talking about their birth. So now he says not only were they born at that time, but they also died at the same month. Okay? Amanda Omar, Batishrei Noldu, Batishrei Meso. And likewise, Rabbi Eliezer, who maintains, you know, that the ancestors, our forefathers, were born in Tishrei. So not only were they born in Tishrei, but also they died in Tishrei as well. Shenema. Now, what is this based upon? The answer is, there is a pasuk that speaks in reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. We know, we read it, you know, in Parsha. Vayelech, right? Parsha Vayelech, we read over there, where it's written over there, Vayomer Alehem, that Moshe said unto the people of Israel, he said, Ben Mayovi Esrim Shona Onochi Hayom. Today I am 120 years old. Now, why did he say today I'm 120 years old? He says, She'ein Talmud Loma Hayom, right? Because why does the Torah say Hayom? Omar Talmud Loma, so what is the explanation of the word Hayom? It says, Hayom Bolo Yomayushnusai. Today, my days and my years have been fulfilled, or have been completed. L'lamedcho, in order to teach you, Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev, U'mimalish Dosehem Shel Tzadikim Yom Liyom, Bechodesh Bechodesh. It's in order to teach us that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sits and completes the years of the righteous from day to day. In other words, every day he makes them have a day which is complete with Torah and mitzvahs and all kinds of good things, mechodesh to chodesh, and also from month to month. Shenemar, as it is written, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, this happens to be a pasuk in Shmos and Parsha Mishpatim, where it says, "Es bispar yomecha amalei," I will fulfill the days of your years. I will complete them. You shall have, you know, years that will be full of all the good things that life has to offer. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right, the idea, right. Of course, we have reference to it even earlier in Sefer Bereishis. What? Moshe Rabbeinu. Right. Yes, of course. Please pass some of these patients down, okay? Yeah, the big one, right? The big one, and it'll be followed by this one. And then over here on the bottom we have.
Was Moshe Rabbeinu the only one who lived exactly
no.
20 years?
Well, okay. The idea of 120 years, I have to tell you, first occurs in Sefer Bereishis, but in a not very happy context. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam, remember, gave much longer lives, you know, to the ancestors, you know, to Adam and Shays and the rest, you know, all of them, as we know. But it's written after on, Le'adon Ruchi Bodom, Le'adon Mishagom Hu Basar. People, unfortunately, are sinning. And so, therefore, V'hoyu Yomov, Be'yov Yesrim Shodom. Therefore, it's written that the lifetime of a human being should be 120 years. In other words, no more than 120 years. Okay. But, as I said, that is in reference to the fact that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, was disappointed in mankind because of the evil deeds of mankind. But with Moshe Rabbeinu, there is where the idea of 120 years, you see, enters a new phase, namely that this is considered being able to feel right, to live a fulfilled life, a complete life.
Tehillim
says, I mean, that the days of man are shivim shanim, and if we have that additional amount of strain, so then it is, you know, that we have ben shmonim shanim, then we'll have 80 years of life. Right, yeah. So we have to say that from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, obviously people didn't live as long either as 120 years.
But there's
years,
not a line also.
Yeah.
This is 5 years before or 5 years after one's parents died. You see, also.
All right, well, this already is a different problem. Yeah. But then we're discussing particularly right now the idea of 120. Okay, so The Beis Shalalim tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, or Moshe Rabbeinu says to the people of Israel, you know, that today I am 120 years, and it shows that the Beis Shalalim enables me to live a complete and a full life up to this particular point. Okay. Now we go back again to the business about Yitzchak's birth, okay? Because if you remember, even Rabbi Eliezer said that Yitzchak was not really born in the month of Tishrei. It's maybe conceived in Tishrei, right? But obviously he was born at a later period. Okay. So, this is now what they're going to discuss. It says, the Pesach Nolad Yitzchak, right? Quotation mark. On Pesach, Yitzchak was born. So, Menalon, how do we know that it happened to be Pesach? So it says, Kedichsiv. We find the Torah the following. The angels come to Sarah, right? And what do they say to her? They say, Lamoed, or Shuve Lecha, right? When the festival comes, then I will return unto you. This is what the angel says. In other words, Ulso Ravain is the rest of the Pesach, right? The Sarah will have a child. Yeah. So God's fine. Of course, that's if you translate the word Moed, this meaning festival. But that's what they're going to based the discussion on right now. Okay? Of course, the Moed, in its more literal sense, well, we can understand, meaning that at this particular date, a year from now, this is the way we always understand it, right? You know, that Sarah will already have given birth to a son, you see. Yeah. But here they're taking the word Moed literal in the sense of a yontif. Okay? So the question is, okay, this is what we're dealing with over here. All right. Amos Kai, what are we talking about? When is it? So Ilemo be Pesach, right? If we say it is Pesach, the Koomale Bat Seres. So if the angel came in order to tell Sarah on Pesach that she was going to be pregnant and give birth to a son, right? So what is Lamoed? What is the next holiday after Pesach? Shavuos, right, which of course in the Talmud is always referred to as being Atzeres, right. So they say, so is he saying to him then that Batzeres on Shavuos, Bechamshin Yomin, 50 days of Shuvei Lecha, right, that I will return, shot on the same line. Bechamshin Yomin on 50 days, Miko Yalda. You mean to say that Sarah could give birth within the period of 50 days?
Much too short,
okay. So, all right, let's say maybe it's not that, okay? Ever the Kai Bat Sarah's. All right, so maybe the announcement was made when? It was made on Shavuos, right? They call Malay Tishrei, and what he says is that when Tishrei comes, that's the time that she'll be bearing a child. She'll have a child. So he says, "Akate b'chamisha yarche miko yolda." You mean to tell me that even in 5 months, is it possible for a woman to give birth? Because between Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah, it's 5 months. Still, it's not long enough for the child's gestation, right? Elo dekai bechag. So, all right. So let's decide then that the announcement is made to her when. Remember that chag is always Sukkot, right? On Sukkot, they call him Allah, and he said to her, "What is the moed? The next holiday. Next holiday after Sukkot is Pesach, right? So, in other words, is he saying to her?" Right, the Kai Bechag v'ko'omaloh ben Nisan, right, that she'll give birth in the month of Nisan. So he says, Akate b'shisa yarche miko yaldo. So tell me, we still have the same problem. Are we to say that she will give birth in 6 months? So along comes the Gemara and suggests, well, maybe we could work it out in this case, that Take, he was born when? In the month of Nisan. But how? So Tana. So we have a tradition that says that Oso Shono Mu'beres Hoyesa, right? That year happened to be an Ibiyor, And since it was an Ibiyor, so that therefore it wasn't 6 months, it was already 7 months. Okay, God's fine. Okay. Sof. However, the Gemara says, but finally, look, Ki medale mar yoime tuma botsvilufu. If you take away the days of her uncleanness, then you are not left with 7 months, but a little bit less than that. Now let me explain what he's talking about. If you remember, the angel comes and tells Sarah, right, that she's going to be a mother. She's going to give birth to a child from Abraham. What was Sarah's reaction? Right, exactly. First of all, she laughed. She couldn't believe it, right? And secondly, she said, "Acharei v'loisi," after I have withered away, "Oyesoli edno," am I again going to have edno? Edno in the case, in this particular case, is related to the word idan in Aramaic, which means time. In other words, am I going to have my cycle all over again? Right? So obviously, if she has a cycle, it means that you have to deduct the days in which she was menstruant from the time, you know, that and she was finally able to go to the mikveh and to give birth again. So then it means that it's not quite 7 months. So Omar Mazur, Trusa Mazur, came up with the following explanation. She says, "Afilu lamandu amara yoledes letisha. Einu yoledes lemikutoyin. Yoledes yeshiva yoledes mikutoyin." Okay, it says, even when we say that a woman gives birth after 9 months, right? But in reality, it isn't exactly 9 months. It's mikutoyin, in other words, means that something has to be taken away from that period. In other words, it could be less than the actual 9 full months, because you have to allow, in this case again, you know, for at what time did her cycle, you know, when did her menstrual period finally come to an end, and when was she finally able to resume relations with the husband, and so on and so forth. So it's not exactly the same way. So he says, by the same token, therefore, even if we say 7 months, but they are also mekutoyin. In other words, it doesn't have to be exactly to the day 7 months, but it could be even a little bit short of that. Shenemar, as a pasuk says, this happens to be in the case of Shmuel, when his mother, you know, came in order to beg, you know, for she was longing so much for a child, right? And she came to the Mishkan, to the tabernacle in Shiloh, in order to pray and to and Eli at first misunderstood her. He thought that she was a drunkard and so on and so forth. But remember what she finally said she was going to do. She said that when the time would come, and she would, God would listen to her prayer, so then she would bring him to the tabernacle, right? And there she would dedicate his life to the service of God, okay? So Shanamar, so the pasuk there says, Vayihilis kufos hayomim. It came to pass at the kufos, which literally means the turns, but it means like the seasons, that's the way we interpret it, of hayomim, of days. So he says, miyut to kufos, since the word is written in the plural, then it has to mean at least what? At least 2 months, right? Shtayim, right? Umiyut yomim, likewise too. What is the minimum amount of yomim, of days? Again, it's shtayim, okay? So that therefore we see that it happens then that even if we talk about months, days, and so on, but particularly let's say months, it is possible that it isn't exactly that amount of time, but we could understand that it might be just a little bit less, and therefore this would justify what? The fact that we have now shown that Yitzchak was born when? He was born on Pesach, okay? He was born on Pesach. So that would account. Okay. Now, again, the tradition is Barosh Hashanah, Nifgeda, Sarah, Rachel, the Chana, right? On Rosh Hashanah, Sarah, Rachel, and Chana were all remembered by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, so that you know, eventually they were able to have children. Okay? So Manolon, how do we know that? It says, Omer Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar says, all three of them I learned through what we would call Egezei Reshava. In other words, a similarity of language. Asya Pekida Pekida, Asya Zechira Zechira. The word Pokad is found in connection with them, right? And the word Zachar, Hashem remembered, is also found in connection with them. Ksiv Barachel, in the case of Rachel, it's written what? Vayizkar Elohim es Rachel, right? That God remembered Rachel. Uksiv Bechana, and likewise it's written in the case of Chana, Vayizkara Hashem, right? That God remembered her. They asked you, Zechira, Zechira, and how about the other Gezeirah Shava? About remembrance, that God remembers, he says, May Rosh Hashanah. This we learn directly from Rosh Hashanah. Dixiv, as the Pasuk says, what? Shabbosom Zichron Trua. That the first day of the seventh month of the year is to be a Shabbosom. It's to be a day in which, you know, no work is to be done on that day. It's a festival day. And Zichron Trua is also the time when we remember the blowing of the shofar, right? So that therefore, on the basis of this, we know that if it is written Zichron or Zichron, right? Remembering. So in that particular case, then we have to say that Vayizkara, right? Vayizkara Hashem, in other words, a reference to Chana, therefore also occurred on the same time, that is on the same day, in which the Rebbeinu Shel Olam tells us to remember the blowing of the shofar. Okay? So that therefore, and of course, I mean, remember, the blowing of the shofar also reminds God, so to speak, that's why we call it Yom HaZikaron, the day of memorial, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam remembers each and every one of us in order to meet out our fate, you know, to review our record and to meet out our fate, you know, for the coming year, right? So therefore we see then that the remembrance as expressed in the verb zachar, or the noun zechira, remembering, and pekido are related to each other. Pekido, pekido, how do we know that? Because Ksiv Bechana is written in the case of Chana. And remember, before we used Chana to show what? Remember, right? To remember. And now, likewise, not only do we have the word remember used with her, but we also have Kifokad Ad Hashem Mischana, right? That God literally visited Chana, but we usually translate it better, you know, that God remembered Chana. But as you can see, I mean, Hebrew has two different words, because Pokad is not exactly identical in meaning with the word Zachar, okay? Uchsir v'sora, and it's written in the case of Sarah, about Hashem, Pokad is Sora, right? That the Lord remembered Sarah. So, that being the case, we now see that the tie-in is between remembrance and also that God visits them, that is, he comes back to them and he helps them bear children, so that therefore this proves what? That all three of these women Rachel and Sarah and Chana were all remembered on Rosh Hashanah. And of course I don't have to tell you that in the davening of the day, the liturgy, you know, to use a fancy word for it, right, that we certainly make reference to it in our various piyutim. And of course, not only that, take the Torah reading. What is the Torah reading for the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Or Hashem Pokad Esora Kasher Amar, right? Right. And then, why don't they mention Leia? Come back to that in a second. Okay, and then what is the Haftorah for the first day of Rosh Hashanah? It's about Chana, you see.
Except, I have a question.
Yes.
In the case of Sarah,
yeah,
God remembered her.
Right.
And she conceived.
Right.
Chana is slightly different story, because the Chana, when Elchonon went to the Mikdash,
yeah,
it wasn't Rosh Hashanah, but Isa Petrash was the Sukkot.
All right, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
look, when you have a drush, you have a drush.
Okay.
Good answer. I hope the boys learn more. Don't answer nothing.
Okay. Well, it's a fact. I mean, you can see. I mean, they're trying to, by means of a great show, to prove the fact that all three of these women in the Torah, right, were actually remembered for good on Rosh Hashanah, and that therefore, that's right. Yitzhak was born, as we said, on Pesach, right? Okay. You asked me about Leah. I have pity on Leah.
I didn't find out about
it. Okay.
First, she was afraid.
First of all,
Okay.
I just want to say, Leah was the one person who had no difficulty in conceiving. I mean, Kenanora, she immediately came. You know, she had four sons, one after another. Right. Then there was a hiatus. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And then, if you remember, they had the whole business, you know, with the concubines, whatever you want to call them. Okay, the handmaidens. Okay. After you know they were born, so then she again conceived, and she bore two more children. So she didn't have this problem. The problem was, of course, with Rachel, who all this time, you know, was unable to conceive and therefore was intensely jealous of her sister for her sister's ability to do it. And she expressed, you know, to Yaakov Avinu in frustration, she says, if I can't have children, I might as well be dead. Right? Yeah. Did you have something you wanted to say? No. Yeah, that's right. That Leah gave birth to Dinah subsequently. Yes, right. Pardon me? Doesn't say that she was a twin to anybody. No. 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 No, Leila Hamid. All right. Then, if you remember, there was the tradition, Rosh Hashanah Yotze Yosef in Beis HaAsurin, right? That on Rosh Hashanah, this was the day that Yosef was able to be released from prison. He left prison. So, Menalon, how do we know this? Tradition, right?
Tradition.
But of course, actually, there's a good reason for it. And the good reason is the psalm that we recite every Thursday. What do we recite every Thursday? You know, first of all, we speak about Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar, right? Bakesed Yom Chagenu, which we have already explained that which is the only Rosh Chodesh which occurs when the moon is actually covered, the answer is that this is Rosh Hashanah, right? And it's written over there in that connection, Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar, you have to blow the shofar on that day. So from this we know that when it's...
This is the only yom before the moon is covered.
So, okay. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yeah. Right. Okay, I accept your recommendation. That's what I meant to say. All right, that's what I meant to say. Correct. It's the only festival, right? Bakesel Yom Chagenu. I mean, it's written, you know, on when it is covered, and this is our festive day. Okay.
There's a picture I've seen in somebody's house.
Yeah.
A family sitting at the Seder table.
Yeah.
The window is open.
Yeah.
And a half moon is in the picture.
Of course, that's wrong. I mean, it should be a full moon. Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, Mela. All right, so that's the first part of the psalm, right? And then a little bit later on, what does it say in the psalm? It says, Eidus be Hosev Sobo, Sol me Eres Mitzrayim, right? This is a testimony. As far as Joseph is concerned, God made this as the day for Joseph, right? Say Sol me Eres Mitzrayim, the day in which he was to go out into the to be the overseer, in other words, of the land of Egypt, right? And that is written, Hasirosi Shechbo Miyolov. In other words, I removed, you know, the burden from his shoulder and so on and so forth. So, from this we see what? That the two ideas are connected with one another. That namely, if this is the festival upon which we blow shofar, in other words, Rosh Hashanah, so the fact that they also include in the same psalm, the fact that Joseph was freed, you know, so that he could become the ruler of Egypt, this shows that this happened when? On Rosh Hashanah. This is the proof. Okay? The Sir Tikkun B'Chodesh Shofar, Ba'Kesa Liyom Chagenu, right? Tichok Liyisrael, who? Okay, and it's Eidus. Okay, this we need the next page that I gave out before. You see the page that begins with the word Eidus? That would be Yud Aleph on the days. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Eidus be Hosef Somo, but say so, there's Mitzvayim. Okay, and you know, they quote the rest of the psukim that I had quoted by heart before, namely that, so that we see that, therefore, this shows that Joseph himself was freed. Then we had another tradition concerning Rosh Hashanah. Of course, it's all in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, but some of the things we saw Rabbi Yeshua agrees, and some things Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. At any rate, another thing that we learned is that Barosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Botla Avodah Me'avasin Mitzrayim, right? The labor that the Jews in Egypt had to perform all those years finally came to an end. So if you remember when we learned this a couple of pages back, so the question is, so what did the Jews do, you know, during the time between Rosh Hashanah and the festival of Pesach, because obviously when were they first free? They were freed on Pesach, right? So the answer is that this was a time in which the Egyptian oppression was no longer as great as it was before, but you know, the Egyptians were busy suffering from the various plagues, and the Jews at the same time were instructed to get ready finally for the day when they would leave Egypt. Yes. Okay, so okay, all right. So, all right. So let me say that the Rosh Hashanah Botla Avoda Me'avasin Mitzrayim Siv Hocha. We have a pasuk. Of course, this is in Shmos, where it's written, "Hotzeisi Eschem Mitacha Sivdos Mitzrayim." The Ben Shalom says, "I will take you out from under the burdens of Egypt." Siv Hosam. And then in the psalm that we've been quoting, the one that we recite every Thursday morning, it's written, "Hasi Rosi." Mesevel Shichmo, right? That I removed his shoulder literally from the burdens that he was carrying. So, in other words,
in that phrase used in some prayers that we say on a regular basis.
Well, I said it every Thursday morning. This is this is the Shir Shal Yom. Every Thursday we say it. Yeah. Yes, Hashem, tomorrow too will say it. the problem is, you know, that you run through the davening so much that at times you lose sight of what is actually being said over there.
We had a teacher who tested us once.
Yeah.
Mr. Hashem Yom. He said, "This is something you will never say. You never have enough time."
Yeah, particularly when I see people taking off their tefillin beforehand and so on. Technically, it's permissible, but you know, they're finished
after,
on that.
After, right.
Right.
After
yeah, yeah. Some people don't wait till after a laning.
Oh, yeah. The rabbi is telling that.
Yeah, after Volzion, according to him. Right. Or after the Kaddish, after Volzion.
Yeah, after
Kaddish,
right.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Some people say they have, because they are reading the tefillin after a laning, but they are reading the laning after.
Well, that's true.
That's
true. Yeah, right, right. I mean, to this day, among the Spartan, all the Psalms are said before Olenu.
Among us Ashkenazim.
Right. Okay, God's fine. Right. Okay. Now, next. Benisa Nigalu says, Gidisa, that the Jewish people were redeemed in the month of Nisan. Yeah, well, we know that. It's written in the Torah, right? That when was it? That was Pesach. Okay. But what happened? Rabbi Eliezer had the tradition, what? B'tishrei asid in the goyel, right? That the future geula, the future redemption, would come when? In Tishrei.
Right.
So, how did he figure that one out? He says, Asya shofar shofar. He bases it upon, again, a Gezerah Shavah, where the word shofar is repeated. Ksiv Hocha, in the case of the psalm that we've been citing, you know, the past few minutes, it's written, Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar, right? Blow the shofar on the Rosh Chodesh, which of course is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, okay? Uksiv Hasam, and then in another place it's written what? It's a quotation, of course, from Yeshayahu, which everyone becomes familiar with. It says, "By Yom Hahu, On that day, Yitokav a shofar godol, the great shofar, meaning that the shofar of redemption will be sounded. Because the rest of the pasuk, remember, says, "Vo ho'ovdim yeres Ashur," those who are lost in the land of Ashur, the hanidochim yeres Mitzrayim, and those who are astray in the land of Egypt. So they all will be gathered together. In other words, this will be the geula. Vishtachu lad Hashem b'har kodesh b'Yerushalayim, and they will all prostrate themselves unto the Lord on His holy mountain in Jerusalem. So that, therefore, this is the geula. So
that makes sense, because yeah, the geula ends with the Yovel year. The Yovel is declared in the
Tishrei. Okay, comes fine. Absolutely, very good. And the fact is, you know, look, when you know, harking back, we already mentioned a little earlier this evening the idea of God remembers. This is why we have Zichronos, right? That God remembers. How about the third part that we add to the Musaf service? That's called shofars, right? Why do we sound the shofar? So we have different reasons. First, we connect it with what? With Mount Sinai, right? Har Sinai. The revelation. God gave us the Torah on Mount Sinai. You know, the koilers of Rokim called shofar, and so on and so forth. You know that you know they were given. Okay, but then what do we say? The kav shofar godol lecheruseinu, right? Blow the great shofar so that we will announce our freedom and so on. Right, so that. Well, that's Zichronos. That's the other one where we said, you know, that God remembered.
Yeah, but God remembered.
Zechira, right? Okay. Yeah, it's a different concept, but of course, God remembers us, right? There's no question about that. So the day will come, and Ben Yishalelim will send us Geula. So based on the fact that the word shofar occurs in both connections, therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when will the future Geula come? He says it will come in the month of Tishrei. Needless to say, Rabbi Yeshua, who disagreed with him, what does he say? Rabbi Yeshua, Mary says, Bin Nisan Digalu, Bin Nisan Asin Nigoyal. It says, the people of Israel were redeemed when? In Nisan. So he says, in Nisan is the time when the future redemption will come. Min Alon, how do we know that? So Omakro, because the Pasuk says, Leil Shimurim. This is in reference to Pesach, the night when the people of Israel left Egypt, literally the night of watch. So what does it mean, Leil Shimurim? This refers to the night which the Rebbeinu Shel Olam kept in his mind and watched for the moment, right from the very beginning of time, when the people of Israel would be redeemed from Egypt. Okay? So that's Leil Shimurim. No, so how do we know about the future redemption? That's not mentioned here. But the answer is, you have to go to the rest of the pasuk. It's written, Leil Shomrim Hu, right? Bnei Yisrael Dorosam. Hu Alayla Hazel Hashem. This night is a night that has been set aside by Rebbeinu Shel Olam, by God. There were some of the children of Israel throughout their generations. If it says throughout their generations, then it means that the generation that will be Zoicha, that will merit the redemption, this will also happen when? In the month of Nisan. So you can play around with it, but I'll have to tell you the truth. Most people quote Rabbi Yehoshua in this connection, that the future redemption will come about in the month of Nisan. Because it sounds good. I mean, you sit down, you make a Seder and everything else, you pray, you thank God for the past Geula, right? But at the same time, we always look forward to the future Geula. Not really. It's simply the fact that you have the Gimel and the Lamed in both, right? But this is from Gimel Aleph Lamed, which is the idea of to redeem, right? And the other one is from Gimel Lamed He, which means to go into exile. Among other meanings, right? Yeah, yeah. So, it isn't exactly. Yeah.
the opposite to the same point.
Yeah, true, true. And, you know, the people like, for example, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, he would always try to find even with two-letter connections and so on. Right, yeah. No question about that. But I'm talking now from the point of view strictly of the diktok, of the language, you know, that the two different roots, Gimel Aleph Lamed as compared to Gimel Lamed Hey. Okay. All right. So the Edok, so how about Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that when will the Geula come? Not on Pesach, the future Geula, but it'll come on Rosh Hashanah, right? So he has a different interpretation. What do we mean by Leil Shimurim? So he says, this means Laila HaMishumar Vah. This is a night which is literally guarded Min HaMazikim, from the evil spirits. You know, we have a custom that normally, before we go to sleep, what do? We recite Krishna, but we also add other things, bracha, psukim, things like that. I mean, that we add to it, okay?
Right.
But when it comes to night of Pesach, then we just say the. That's all. We just say the first paragraph of the Shema, and that's it. Okay. Because why? Because Rebbeinu Shalom is watching us throughout the night, and it's Leil Shimurim, and we don't have to worry about any of the mazik and any of the evil spirits that night. Well, okay. If you live in a good neighborhood, you can do it.
I keep I'm not in a bad neighborhood too, you know.
The first day tonight, the second.
Yeah, we're talking about right, right. Second one, because it's, you know, since we're in doubt as to whether it's all right.
Roaring Gaulis,
right, exactly. Okay. The Yos of the Talmaihu, and each one of them based their opinion as to when was the creation of the world and all these events that they mentioned, connection with that, according to how they interpreted the Pesukim in the Torah, the Tanyas. We learned what? In the case of Noah, it's written over there, when was the flood? It says, Bishnas Shesh Meyoshono Lechaye Noah, right? In the 600th year of the life of Noah, Bachodesh Hasheni, in the second month, Bishiva Oso Yom Lachodesh, in the 17th day of that month. So, Rabbi Yoshua says, Oso Hayom, that day when the flood began was what? It was Yud Zayin Be'iyar Hayah, right? It was the something day of Iyar. First of all, the word Sheni doesn't create any problems for him, because if we say that the year begins with the month of Nisan, so Sheni would mean, therefore, that it has to be the month of Iyar. Not only that, he says, but I have something from astronomy that bears me out. And here I have to tell you, I'm not an astronomer, but I'll tell you simply the taich of what the Gemara has to say. Okay? Yeah, okay. He says, that day, right, Yud Zayin B'Iyar Hayo, Yom Shemazel Kimo Shokeya Bayom. Umayinos Mismaatim. Okay, he says that this is the day, the 17th of the month of Iyar, when the constellation of Kima, of course the question is, what is Kima? So the usual translation is the Pleiades. That's the usual, Pleiades. P-L-E-I-A-D-E-S, the Pleiades. It's a constellation. It's mentioned several times, the word Kima. It's mentioned in the Bible several times. It's mentioned, for example, in the book of Amos. It's mentioned in the book of Iyov. Okay? So that in both of those places we refer to that. Okay? So, anyway, what does he say about this? By the way, I also have to tell you that not everybody agrees that this is the correct constellation that they're talking about, okay? But this is the usually accepted translation of Kima, okay? So, at any rate, what happened on that day is that, first of all, the constellation set during the day. Now, in other words, as the day goes on, it's as if, I guess, that the sun goes in various constellations, okay? And of course, it's not only constellations from the point of view that it's found, you know, the different stars, but also you have the other constellations, you have what we call the planets, the zodiac, right? You have the zodiac. So, and to that we also refer to the signs of the zodiac as mazal, so that the word mazal means in general either one of the months of the zodiac, or it means a constellation of stars. So how do you say mazel tov, right? Yeah. The answer is that I wish you that you'd have good stars. Right? This is the origin of the idea. But I have to tell you, you know, that there's a famous Gemara that speaks about Avraham Avinu, and says, you know, that Avraham Avinu, Rabbi Shalom tells him, go out, right? And see. Go outside and see. Count the stars and so on and so forth, right? And Avraham Avinu said to the Rabbi Shalom, he says, my astrologers have told me that my mazal is not to have a child. So the Rebbeinu Shalom says to him, say, mitztagninu shelcha, forget about all the astrology that they're telling you. You're going to have a child, right? And the Gemara then has the following expression. It says, ein mazal liYisrael, which doesn't mean that Jews have no luck. But what it means is that Jews are not subject to the stars to determine their fate. Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a Gemara, right, also in mazal Yisrael. Right. Yes. Yeah, in the sense of, right, the zodiac signs, right. As for example, mazal tale would be the sheep. This is what the Latin word is, aries, right? A-R-I-E-S. I don't know how you pronounce it in English. Latin is aries, okay, right. And then you have shore, the ox, right? Aries, right. And then you have, you know, shore is the ox, and you have others like... right, and that would be aries, and so on and so on. You know, so we have Hebrew names for them. You have Teomim, the twins, of course, that in English, that the Latin word for that would be Gemini, Gemini, right, and so on. And Dogim, for example, fish, right? The Latin word for that is Piscis, in other words, Pisces, and so on, right? You know, the English pronunciation is not exactly the way you pronounce it in Latin. But, you know, they use these terms, and then they used Hebrew terms. All right, so... at any rate, on that day, yeah. Oh yeah, right. Right, it's not until, but in Geshem, you see, the old Masorim, they printed it, right. And it's a long piyut over there by Rabbi Yamazar Collier. Right, yeah, well, somebody sent it once upon a time, I guess. That's why they printed it, right. Yeah. But I used to like to look at the pictures. Always. Yeah. No, you have it in the old-fashioned Masorim, you find it, right? Yeah. Okay, so at any rate, on that particular day, the Rabbeinu Shalom, what? He caused the constellation of Kimoth, the Pleiades, right, to set during the day. And also, Mayonos Mismaitin. Now, if you remember in the Torah, it's written that the water came from two different areas, right? The waters of the flood. Right, from above and from below. Now, from above, of course, there is written, you know, V'arubos HaShemayim Niftochu, that literally, the windows, right, up in heaven, they were opened up, and of course, the rain poured down that way. But it's written first, V'yisokru, that it's written V'yanos Tehom Rabo, right. Now, that is afterwards, right. Right, when it stopped, that's V'yisokru, right. But the first Niftechu, Tahomos, right, Mayanos Tahom Rabon, right, that literally the fountains of the deep underneath, right, they opened up and so on and so forth. All right. Right. So normally we would say then that what? On this day, normally, the mazal of Kima sets during the day, right? And because of the heat that we have, therefore the underground springs of water also misma'atim, right? They become fewer. So this would be under normal circumstances. But umitoch sheshinu ma'asehen, but because the human beings at the time of Noah, prior to Noah, they changed their way of life. In other words, they degenerated in the way of life. So therefore, what was their punishment? So the Rebbeinu Shalom, Shina HaKadosh Baruch Aleihem Ma'aseh Bereishis. So the Rebbeinu Shalom also changed the normal progression of what happens in the world for them. Ve'Elo Mazal Kimo Bayom, and he caused that the constellation of Kimo should not set but should arise during the day. And then here's a famous agada, Ve'Notar Shnei Kochavim Kimo. See, the constellation has several stars, including some very, very bright stars. Okay? So he took two of the stars and removed them from Kimo. Ve'Evi Mabul Lo'olam. And he brought the flood upon the world. In other words, the waters began gushing forth in the space between, you know, that was left bare by the Rebbeinu Shalom yanking out, you know, these two stars from the sky. And so this is what happened, okay? No, how about Rabbi Eliezer? It's the same thing. So he said, that pasuk does not refer to what? To the 17th day of Iyar. But he says, on the contrary, Rabbi Eliezer, Umer, Osa, Hayom, Yud, Zayim, Ma, Cheshvan, Hoya. It was the 17th day of the month of Cheshvan. Yom, Shemazal, Kimo, Ole, Bayom. This is a day when normally the constellation of Kimo arises during the day. Umayonos, Misgabim, and at that particular point, the underground springs, you know, they rise. Because why? Remember, in terms of Eretz Yisrael, this should be the rainy day, the rainy season at this time of the year, okay? Unfortunately, it's been very dry, I have to tell you, in Eretz Yisrael. They've had very little rain so far. But as a normal thing, of the, you know, things would be right, then this would be the time when the underground springs arise because of the fact that, you know, you have so much rain falling, right? And then I'll just do the next line and save me giving out another page, but we'll save it for next time. And because, again, human beings change their way of life, so Shina Kodesh Baruch Aleihem Ma'aseh Bereishis, right? So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam changed the normal course of running the universe. The Hair Law Mazal Kimo Bayom, and he caused the constellation of Kimo to arise during the day. The Nortashne Kochavim, and he took these two stars, the Hevim Abu Lo'olam, and he brought the flood to the world. All right, so we'll stop at this particular point. All right, Hayom Yom, of course, today is the 17th, not of Cheshvan. Something of Kislev, something of Cheshvan. Remember, this is the day when the floods started to, you know, to operate. Okay, so since we're in a floody mood right now, okay, but it's something of something of November, and of course happens to be also the 8th of Kislev. Okay, and we are on Rosh Hashanah Yud Beis Omid Aleph. Okay, and we're continuing. So, just a reminder that we are still faced with the problem that there are two different opinions as to when the creation took place, right? And one is the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua, who says that the creation took place the first day of Nisan, and therefore he does all his dating on that basis, right? And on the other hand, there's Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the date of creation is the first day of Tishrei. And therefore, even though they read the same psukim, the same verses in the Torah about when did the flood occur, because after all the Torah mentions it, but nevertheless, the application is quite different, because according to Rabbi Yoshua, since he holds that Nisan is the beginning, so therefore the flood started when? In the month of Iyar, right? Whereas, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that Tishrei is the first day of the month, of the year, right? Tishrei is the first month of the year, and Rosh Hashanah, therefore, is the first day of Tishrei. So, therefore, when did the flood begin? It began in the month of Tishrei. Okay? So, we're almost finished with this particular machlokes, this particular argument between the two. But as we see, the details are quite similar. It's just when we apply the particular details. Okay. So the Gemara says right now, on the fourth line over there, Bishlam or Rabbi Yoshua. Okay. We can interpret the story of the flood in accordance with Rabbi Yoshua's opinion, namely that the first day of the year is the first of Nisan, and therefore this year, because it's written, you know, that it happened when? Sheni, second. So, Sheni, second, all right? And this is in accordance with what? With the way the Bible in general uses the dating, right? Because according to the Bible, when is the beginning of the year? Rosh Chodeshim, right? HaChodesh HaSelechim Rosh Chodeshim. So the answer is it's the first of Nisan. Okay, so Sheni therefore automatically fits in, it would mean Iyar. So the question is, yeah, but what about Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that it's the first of Tishrei? What are you going to do with him, right? So, Ella the Rabbi Eliezer, right? My Shino. Well, of course, by the way, remember that Gemara before said a moment ago that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam changed the course, the natural course of events, right? So, in other words, according to Rabbi Yoshua, at a time when the weather should be dry, right? So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam caused floods to appear. Okay, so that was the change. But Elul the Rabbi Eliezer, who holds what? That the new year is actually the first of Tishrei, and therefore the flood began when? In the second month, right? So if it's the second month, that would be the month of Cheshvan, right? So what's so unusual about that? It's not unusual, because that's a month, as we said a moment ago, when the rain should be normally falling and water should be swelling up, right? So my Shino. So in that case, so tell me, what did Rebbeinu Shel Olam do that was different? So what he did different was in accordance with another opinion, Kedar Rav Chisna, in accordance with the opinion of Rav Chisna, the Omer Rav Chisna. Rav Chisna said as follows, says, V'roschin kilkalu, V'roschin nidonu. Okay? The roschin means literally with hot water. I'm translating it the way it usually is translated, right? With heated, whatever it may be, they committed their sin, and therefore they were judged. What was the judgment? Judgments that they should be judged also, that is the punishment that it should be given to them, would also be with roasting, with hot. All right, and now we'll understand that a little bit better. Ksiv Hocha, we have in the story of the flood, it's written that, you know, after the flood, that after the rain stopped, so what happened? So after that, we have the phrase, Vayashoku Hamayim, which literally we translate, you know, and the waters, you know, that they calmed down, or something like that, okay? Uksiv Hasam. And then we have a pasuk, of course, in Megillas Esther, where it's written, you know, that after the king decided, you know, that he was, you know, he had punished Vashti and so on because he was angry. So then afterwards it's written, "V'chamas ha-melech shechocha," that the anger of the king then became calmed down. Okay? Literally. All right. Now notice another thing. First let me, okay, and then I'll be happy to answer your question. The word chema, which means wrath or anger, as you can see, is related to what word? Cham, of course. So in other words, what we're saying is, therefore then, that the heat of the king, the angry heat of the king, it calmed down. So that therefore we see that by Yoshoku, the implication would be that what calmed down? The water had to be boiling beforehand. Okay? You understand? The water had to be boiling beforehand. And therefore, it calmed down now. And naturally, the fact that the flood was boiling water and not cold water is what we would expect, right? This was the Shino. This was the change that took place in the normal course of events, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, I have to add one more phrase, observation, then I'll be happy to answer all questions. Okay. The word roschin over here. Normally, the word roschin refers to something, you know, which is boiling hot. Okay? We do find, however, a somewhat parallel idea in connection with Bilam. Remember Bilam? Man who wanted to curse the Jewish people, and who, again, what was the revenge of Bilam upon the people of Israel after his curse was turned into a blessing? He still wasn't satisfied, if you remember, right? Instead, what did he do? What did he urge?
Yeah. I thought he
caused
the women.
Yeah, right, exactly. He caused the people of the men of Israel, right, to sin with the Moabite women, if you remember, right? So, rather the Midianite women, okay, with the Midianite women. Because Moabites, Midianites, all the same chaler, you know. So, the Gemara says that Bilam's punishment after he was put to death and he went down to Gehinnom, which is where he deserved, you know, to spend the rest of eternity, right? That he would always, his punishment would be with Beroschim. And there what it refers to actually is that hot semen. Because apparently the idea of passion, semen, you know, is something, you know, which is identified with Roschim. So what they're trying to say over here is what was one of the major sins of the generation upon which, you know, the Rabbeinu Shalom brought the flood? The answer is, if you remember, Kishis Kol Bosar is Darka Lord. All flesh destroyed the normal, natural way of, you know, of propagation and sex and everything else upon the earth. As you know, if you read the Midrashim and so on and so forth, so you see, for example, that bestiality was encouraged, immorality was encouraged, and you know, all these things. So that this then was the punishment for these sins, that the waters on which, you know, they were to drown would be boiling waters. Okay, questions. David, you had an observation.
No, I think probably the answer is
this is with a chav. This is with a chav. Shin chav chav. Right, shin. Right, shin chav chav. Right. The Hamas Hamelach Shachocha. You know the quote that he, you know, that he brings over here, and Kishor Hamas Hamelach Achashverosh. Another quotation that we have over there. Okay. So we see then that
there's another thought that came to my mind, and that has to do with the boiling water.
Yeah.
Which you say is unnatural.
Right.
But in a natural form, there is boiling water that comes up.
Yes, correct. But that's, you know, boiling. It's like in Yellowstone Park or something like that, correct?
Right. Well,
right. But by the same token, you know that the waters of the ocean or something like that, that normally they're cold, they're not hot.
Right.
Yeah. So this then would be a change that was made, you know, this is the Shinai Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. All right, let's finish over here. Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught another teaching. They says Chachma Yisrael Munin Lamabul, to Rabbi Eliezer, the Tkuvot of Rabbi Hoshua, says that the sages of Israel, they adopted the idea of counting, you know, in other words, of considering when did the Mabul actually take place. They were in agreement with Rabbi Eliezer, namely that it took place in the month of Cheshvan, right? So that, in other words, it agrees with what Rabbi Eliezer said, that the year begins with Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, that's Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the date of the start of the flood would be in the month of Cheshvan. But when it came to figuring out that the Kufos, which means the seasons of the year, then they count beginning with Nisan. Now this is a complicated thing. So let me simply explain a little bit about this, okay? We have a big Rashi. I don't know whether it's on your page. I think it is. You see where it says Chachma Yisrael? First of all, on the margin, you see Sanhedrin, Zvochim. You see that over there? Yeah, Rashi is the column on the right in this particular case. Rashi is always on an inner column, okay? And Tosfos is always on an outer column, okay? So, Rashi says as follows. It says, Chachma Yisrael, Monin Lamabel, Rabbi Eliezer, right? That the sages of Israel, they count the marble, they count the flood, according to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Monin Shinos Noach, Uvriyas Oilam, Shinos Hadoros, Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, when it comes to figuring out how old was Noach, because if you remember, 500 years, and then this, and the 600th year, and so on and so forth, right? So they say that when it comes to figuring out the age of Noah, it is from Tishrei, right? Well, Riyas Olam, likewise, the creation of the world is also when? In Tishrei. Ushnos Hadoros, and also the years, how old the various generations, and these would be, of course, generations, let's say, to begin with, from Adam to Noah, from Noah to Abraham, and so on, right, that are mentioned in the Torah over there. So those years also would be counted as of Tishrei. Yeah. Monin Mitishrei, right. Tichilat Hashan, right. So they count from Tishrei. This is the beginning of the years. V'lo mishum disvira lehu b'tishrei nivra ilon. Now here's what Rashi adds, something that's interesting. He says, but it's not because they are of the opinion that the world was created in Tishrei. Elo the Tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'shana. But rather, what they're saying is that when it comes to establishing years, then you begin with Tishrei. This is the Rosh Hashanah as far as years are concerned. Over Nisan, Nivra Ho'elam, but they are convinced that in Nisan the world was created, Tikatani, as we said before, namely in the argument, if you remember, they each quoted Psukim, and the argument was that the world was created in the month of Nisan, because this is the time when everything comes into full bloom and flourishes and everything else. So this would be typical of the fact that the Rebbeinu Shalom said to the trees and the bushes and the grasses and the herbs and so on, you know, flourish, okay? So that this would be all right. So this is what they are in agreement about. Okay. Then, the Chachmei Umas Ha'olam, right? But the sages of the non-Jewish people, Monin Afla Babel Rabbi Yeshua, they count the flood even in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua. In other words, they are convinced what? That the flood took place not at the beginning, that is, the beginning of the flood did not take place in Cheshvan, but rather that it took place in Iyar. Okay? And then, when it comes to the Tekufos, in other words, to the various seasons of the year, here we go into another thing. Okay, Rashi continues. He says, it's Kufo and Rabbi Yoshua, right? When it comes to the Tekufo, they are in agreement with Rabbi Yoshua. He says, Kishimonin Tekufas HaChama V'Halevona Monin Menisa. All right, this is based again upon, if you say that the world was created in Nisan, right? Then it would mean that when do we have the sun and the moon created? Of course, we know they were created in the fourth day of creation, right? All right. So, according to this opinion, it was in the month of Nisan, and therefore, different tekufos, different periods of time are based upon that. And Rashi continues and explains it, and I can add some more. Okay. He says, Lomar, to say as follows, Shemen Nisan Nivru, right? They were created in Nisan. Ubitchilas Leil Revi'i. And it was at the beginning of the fourth night. In other words, first 3 days of creation had passed, and then at the beginning of the fourth night, right, this is when the sun and then the moon and so on were created. Okay. Shimsha Chama ben Nisan. In other words, we say that the sun began its service in Nisan. So the Fichok, therefore, ain tekufas Nisan ofeles elo bedalon revi hayom. Therefore, the season that we call the season of Nisan, which would mean, in other words, the spring season, does not occur except on Wednesday, bedalon. Revi Hayom, okay, which is the fourth of the day, or the fourth of the day, Lefi Shelo Olam, because it says always, Yom Urevia, Fein Tekufa Shona Zu, the Tekufa Sheganegdo, the Shona Habo. It says, there is the following difference between the season when it begins in 1 year and when it begins the following year. And it's a difference of a day and a quarter. This is what he says. In other words, we have to assume what? That the year is 365 days, okay? And therefore, if we divide it by four, we're going to have what? Well, let's divide 364 by four. What do we have? Huh?
91.
We have 91. And now we still have 1 day left over, divided by four, so it means what? So it's a quarter of a day, right? Okay. So in other words, between one and the other, there is a difference of, that is, between one season and another, it's every season is how long? It's 91 and a quarter days. Okay, this is what it says. Okay. V'chein moldos halavona. It says, likewise, the molad of the levona, you know, we still have the custom, minhag, right, of saying, you know, that Rosh Chodesh is going to be on this and this day, and the molad of the moon, right, the molad of the levana, it's going to be on this and this day, such and such an hour, so many minutes, and so many chalokim. Chalokim means, it's 1 over 1080 or something like that, okay. So you have to multiply how many chalokim, okay. So he says, therefore, and likewise he says that when it comes to the molat, to the birth of the moon, you know, the birth of a new moon, monin molat nisan rishon b'leil revi, so we find that the very first molat of nisan is when? At the night of the fourth day of the week. The tisha shores, and it's at 9 hours, right? The tarmav chalokin, and 742 chalokim. Okay. So, at any rate, we see then that, they did some figuring out astronomically, as we saw last week too, when we were talking about in what mazal and what constellation the sun rises, and where do we find the sun at this time of the year, and where do we find the other one, and so on and so forth. So, this is the basis in the final analysis for, some of the figuring that we have in establishing the calendar. But also, as we see, you have the usual problem, namely, how do we combine a calendar based upon the solar year with a calendar which is based upon a lunar year? Obviously, there is a discrepancy between them. And this is, of course, as we know, why we have to have an imiyor, in other words, why we have to declare a leap year. In order to straighten out the difference. I mean, it would seem to us, let's say every third year should be a leap year. It doesn't work that way. because sometimes it's the second year and not the third, because they discovered that you have to still count the little extra hours and extra minutes and so on and so forth and account for them. It doesn't work out as smoothly as it would if the year only consisted of 365 days flat, you see. But there is extra in addition, so that they have to account for it. All right. So, as we see, that as far as then the Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Yom Yisraelon, they are in agreement, what? That in Nissan the world was created, right? And the question is only about the marble, whether they agree with Rabbi Eliezer or whether they agree with Rabbi Yeshua. And we see that in general they were in agreement with whom? They were in agreement with Rabbi Yehoshua in this particular case. So, of course, that brings up the following question. So, why do we celebrate Rosh Hashanah as the first of Tishrei? Why don't we celebrate the first of Nisan? So, the answer is because we follow Rabbi Eliezer in this respect. That's all. So, yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
About the 365 days plus.
Right.
Now, that calculation has to do with the sun, right?
Correct.
The sun,
yes,
travels.
Right.
And we have a lunar calendar.
Right. Which could be something like 355
right.
days.
So,
yes.
Then if we are obviously not strictly a lunar calendar, if we are working by the calculation of the sun,
okay.
That has to be part of it.
Yeah, obviously, so, because, you see, one of the things that the Torah stresses...
They take this into consideration, obviously.
Oh, yeah,
so it's
yeah,
a legitimate
right.
question.
Right. Bear in mind, the Mohammedans use strictly a lunar calendar, okay?
So
they
Ramadan
do, right.
All over
right.
Yeah. Right.
This is why Ramadan could be one year in spring, another one in the fall,
yeah,
another
right.
one in the summer, and so
right.
on. I mean, it's never
yeah.
the same. Torah specifies specifically what? That Pesach has to be B'chodesh Ha'aviv.
Right.
It has to be in the month of Aviv.
Right.
And Aviv, as we said, I mean, this is when, you have the blossoming, the budding, and the first grain is beginning to ripen on the stalks and so on and so forth. It has to be that. Not only that, but Chag HaSukkos has to be B'tkufas HaShonah, at the time when the year again turns. In other words, at the time when the season of the year is turning, right? And B'os Pechos, B'asechem and HaSodah, and this is the time when you gather in all that you're gathering from the field and so on, so Sukkot must be observed in the fall. That's all there is to it. So the only way that you can reconcile it is by doing it exactly what we do,
right.
by having a Nibiyar. Yeah.
We have a combination of soul and animal.
That's correct.
That, yes,
correct.
That's the
right.
point I was making.
Yeah.
We have both.
Absolutely so.
Yeah.
I mean, this
you have
is
to
it.
Take that into consideration.
Must take it into consideration. And of course, our sages who made the calendar back in the 4th century approximately, they were well aware of all these things.